Hi, this is Dr. Mike Chupp, and you're tuned in to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. You know, our vision of success at CMDA involves Christian healthcare professionals who bring the hope and healing of Christ to the world every single day. And speaking of the world and the nations, we are fast approaching the annual Global Missions Health Conference, or GMHC, or sometimes lovingly known as the Louisville Conference, which is being held November 11th through the 13th. GMHC is held at the Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky, every single November, with the exception of last November because of the pandemic when it was held virtually. You know, the month of October often brings back to me memories of my 16 plus years growing up in rural central Indiana. Our family home there in Morgan County was located on a winding country road just across from a massive 1,000-plus acre cornfield. And every October, that beautiful sea of green that we had witnessed growing all summer long across the road became a sea of tightly packed, spindly brown corn stalks loaded with huge ears of corn, just begging to be harvested. We knew that any day, our local farmer would come riding in with three or four massive combines, working almost nonstop in the daylight as well as the darkness to fill dozens of grain trucks. I was always so amazed how quickly the harvest was accomplished with the right equipment and a hard-working team. Our Lord Jesus gave us very clear instructions in Luke chapter 10, verse 2. And maybe you've been a part of what's been called the Luke 10-2 Challenge. Many missions-minded mobilizers and organizations over the past few years have been setting an alarm on their devices or watches that goes off at 10:02 a.m. or p.m. each day, wherever they are, to remind them to ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. Well, my guest today is longtime CMDA friend, one who designed and oversees the resource-packed medicalmissions.com website, Mr. Will Rogers. Will leads a very passionate team at the Southeast Christian Church there in Louisville, Kentucky. And this year, they are planning and preparing for an in-person, on-site attendance, as well as a virtual option because of COVID-19. I'd like to invite you to listen in as I'm joined by my co-host today, Dr. Doug Lindberg from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, who together with his wife, Ruth, served for several years in Nepal as medical missionaries. And now Doug directs our Center for Advancing Healthcare Missions at CMDA. Well, it is an exciting privilege for me today to welcome to CMDA Matters Mr. Will Rogers, who I've known for a number of years. Also with me today is Dr. Doug Lindberg, who is our director for the Center for Advancing Healthcare Missions, who's been with us for a year. And we're here together today to talk about the largest healthcare missions conference in the world that happens each year, the second Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of November. And Will, you were the man who got GMHC, or what some people lovingly call the Louisville Conference, started. Tell us how this all began.
Yeah, you know, so the conference has been around. This will be the 26th year of the conference. And Dave Stevens was involved with a lot of the early conversation years ago. And the way I hear it, the legend goes that there was a campfire discussion in Africa somewhere. And a cardiologist by name of David Daggerford, Dr. Daggerford, was the one here at Southeast that drove this to really making it happen. And he was the visionary and the driver here for the first decade of the conference, and really brought it to life and made it what it is. And I'm fortunate to step in after him and really more on the side of maintaining what Dr. Daggerford brought to life. And that's when I got to know Dr. Stevens and really stepped in. And if I'd say anything, you know, Dave really was a mentor, a key mentor of mine, and especially the early years of stepping into this role.
At that point in time when you stepped in for Dr. Daggerford, I mean, what did the conference look like then compared to what it looks like now?
I think it was running about 2,000 people or so. And I think the best way I know how to remember what it looked like was it was a folder of 40 sheets of paper that were all different colors and different fonts. And it was, there's just these things where it kind of been homegrown. And, you know, as a transition to say, hey, let's take this and really try to look at it from a more, making it more professional. But it was fun. You know, like it started out a couple hundred people and it grew. It really grew as a family. I think there's a lot of things that are very unique about this conference that don't feel like a conference, but it has a conference name to it, you know.
Well, I've been in a lot of sites around the world and involved in medical missions since the early 90s. And there's probably not anybody who's at all involved in medical missions who does not know about GMHC. It's just, its influence, its impact is so widespread. And even nationals in other countries have heard about and many have attended, have decided that they would come to America just to attend this conference in Louisville, Kentucky. So its reach is incredible. I have so many incredible memories from this conference and so many conversations, so many. The late Luis Palau used to say that great big doors of opportunity open on small hinges. And those hinges, the number of conversations that I've had at Southeast Christian Church, and for our listeners who've not been, that's the home of Global Missions Health Conference in Louisville, Kentucky. But so many conversations in the coffee shop and so many reunions and just so many memories. Can you tell us a story or two about how God has used this conference from your perspective as the chief organizer, the technical director, the lead man?
Yeah, well, I'll start out just say I appreciate your words of encouragement there, because there is a large factor for our team that we don't get to hear the impact very often. And that's okay. We're still staying diligent to the vision that we believe for this. And every once in a while, the Lord is gracious to give us a glimpse into some things that are pretty exciting for us to hear. And I think the one that in recent years I'd go back to is remembering when there was a press conference for a number of the people that were involved with the whole Ebola story. And, you know, Dr. Kent Brantley was here and Lance Plyler and a number of the other folks that had, you know, firsthand experience with that. And I think someone in the interview, the press conference asked, how did you guys get connected? And I remember the whole crew of people kind of looking at each other and the light bulb turned on. I was like, I guess it was here that we all met and first had this connection to these, you know, the steps that got us to where we are. And I love to get to hear stories like that when we do get to hear them. And, you know, we stand in an interesting spot because we want to be mobilizers and encourage people to be mobilized. But what makes this work, I think, in such a great way is that we get to partner with CMDA, you all and others that take people from the conference onto that next step. We're not that organization. We don't walk with them down that journey. You know, so our hope is that they make a great connection to you. And then, you know, wait and just trust that the Lord's doing something with it. We like to say, you know, every year of the attendance, there's about 50% of new people who have never attended the conference before. So we can laugh and say, well, you know, either we're doing a terrible job and people never want to come back, or we prefer to say that, hey, we're doing, you know, this is being really successful because 50% of the people that attended last year are on the field right now. And we're going to go that way, that most of the people are out there serving somewhere.
You betcha.
So, well, what kind of opportunities does GMHC offer for healthcare professionals in different stages of their education and career and healthcare lifespan, if you will?
Your question is great because it's both simple and super complex. And when you start to think about the opportunities, you start to think, we believe that the, you know, way we segment things out, there's about between 70 and 80 healthcare professions that have some way to connect in healthcare missions. There's all different time spans that you can go. You can go from a week to years. There's different ways that you can go. You can go domestic and international. And then there's obviously different stages of life where you might be a student or you might be post-career and retired. So there's a lot of dynamics to it. And what we try to do at the conference is try to bring simplicity to all the different avenues that there are to go. And this is my 17th year in this role. And I think, you know, we really have been trying to embrace the side of being, we want to be a really great guide for people. And I'll say just really openly, we're not anywhere close to where we should be yet. And every year we get another chance to try to sharpen that skill. And, you know, as we talked about, we're even working on a probably one of our greatest projects that's going to roll out next year called Pathways into Healthcare Missions, to try to help navigate, you know, the big world. Even, I mean, you think you come to the conference, right? You walk in the front doors and you get handed a book and you have 150 breakout sessions to choose from. And you've got 150 organizations to go have a conversation with, and it's just overwhelming. So we're really trying to take what you're asking and drill that down to like, hey, we want to provide and guide you to a really great experience to connect with the organizations, because everything is here. I mean, you've got short term, you got long term, you've got domestic and international, you have marketplace and traditional. I mean, there's all these different ways to engage in healthcare missions.
Yeah, so there are a whole lot of permutations and complexities there that you guys are navigating. Right. So that's great. Well, one of the ways that we've interfaced here as of late is with undergraduate students and trying to mobilize them. And I know I speak for a lot of other missionaries, either current or former, when I say that the Lord a lot of times grabs onto people's hearts during that stage of life. I mean, it's a form, those are formative years where you're exploring what you believe and why you believe it. And again, there can just be some powerful things that happen during those years. And so CMDA and our Center for Advancing Healthcare Missions, and recognizing that, is really trying to reach out and engage undergraduates, particularly those who are pre-health, be it medicine or dental or nursing or therapy or what have you. And so we're going to be publishing a newsletter on a quarterly basis, but then we'd also talked about hosting a webinar. And then we had had a conversation, Will, about potentially having GMHC and CMDA partner on that and kind of take advantage of some of the strengths of both of our organizations in order to pull that off. So if you could just talk about, you know, how that might look, and then also other ways that CMDA and GMHC through the years and currently have worked together.
I'm going to chew up the rest of your all's time talking about all the ways that we've worked together. And I mean, it's been a really great journey. Maybe I'll even start from a foundational standpoint and say the GMHC is a ministry of the Missions Department of Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky. And, you know, the church loves this conference. It's run in the red. So the church like financially subsidizes every year to make this thing happen. So there's budget that's given to this, and obviously the facilities and so on, but we love this. And yet the way I kind of look at it on a more internal side of how we run things is we kind of look to organizations like CMDA and other key leaders in healthcare missions essentially as our board. And this has been a little bit of a hiccup with COVID, as that's changed a few schedules, but about every 3 years we get together with our key partner organizations to ask the question, what do you need the GMHC to be? And we fully believe that the GMHC is your conference. Like, we're here to serve you as the organization and you as the attendee. And that's really been a fruitful time to mine and suss out with organizations, what is it that are current trends and needs that exist? And that's been an awesome partnership that we've had with, I don't know how many times I've been down to your all's headquarters and spent time with multiple people on your all's side. And also, you know, CMDA, as we're working on things, is our partnership on continuing medical education, partnership on content and curriculum design, partnership in how we produce resources and books before. And I'd say anytime that we are running into a significant thing on our side of trying to figure out the strategy for something, CMDA has always been involved in those discussions. So now we're looking forward to what next year's looking like. And, you know, we were forced to take that road of going virtual for 2019, get my years confused here, but for last year, when we had 25th anniversary, we ran the virtual event. And I think all of us would agree that it's much better getting together in person.
Amen.
But we also learned in that there are some benefits in the virtual side of things. So, you know, what we're looking to do next year is to have a virtual event each month that are smaller, 1 or 2 hour type events, but we want to be bringing meaningful content to life for people. And I think that those are probably going to materialize, that we do those in partnership. And as we've talked about, you know, they're with, I think March is what we're looking at for that event.
Yeah,
that's a great fit and partnership for us because, you know, come back to, I have to understand that we're a church. Like, and we, I think our expertise is in the area of pulling these things together, but we're not healthcare experts. And getting to partner with you all as healthcare experts, I think it's an awesome partnership to see pieces come together, like virtual events and live events and resources and anything else that might come from it.
And I'm grateful I won't have to be managing Zoom rooms and breakouts and things of that sort. So thank you.
Will, you and your team there at Southeast Christian are, I mean, you're the quintessential medical missions mobilizers. I mean, content resources that you have available on medicalmissions.com are truly amazing. And the archives, a number of talks that you're constantly bringing back up and recycling for people to hear are just truly amazing. So you've seen over these last 17 years plus from the side of a mobilizer, the issue of folks somewhere on their path, and you talk about pathways that you're going to be working on next year, but somewhere on their path and not making it to where an initial feeling of God wants me to do this and not making it there. So I've spent my career on the other side of that pathway receiving folks. And so honestly, I guess I get the people who after they've run the gauntlet, but you see them maybe falling off of the path and not making it. So what are the things that disrupt and let's for now, let's not talk yet about COVID, but historically, what are the things you've seen that have sidelined people who initially feel called?
You know, a lot of that is contextual for life and age and a number of other pieces. But I think that for the most part, the challenges are pretty consistent. You know, there's in medical, like for one thing that's a big challenge is there are often seen the call to healthcare missions and mission work in high school or undergraduate, but by the time you end up out of medical school, that's years from that point. And it also means that you might be in significant debt and that at that point you have a family and a mortgage and multiple vehicles and life just looks different at that point. You know, so healthcare missions is just a different animal than just regular missions. And everything takes more time, everything takes more strategy and thought and practice. And you know, so for students that are looking, like it really takes intentionality for creating, in many ways, a decade long plan to successfully get you there. Now, it doesn't have to look that way, but like to do it well, like with it, we really see that you really need to be thinking things out well. And there's awesome organizations and opportunities like In His Image. And I mean, I just think all these different pockets around the US that have built communities that are helping people think that through. But then you start going through the list, you've got debt, you've got family that doesn't support it. That can be parents, that could be spouses. You've got just confusion and fear about what it looks like. And we've got a resource that we typically go back to about 14 key challenges that people face as they look at healthcare missions. But the awesome thing about it is we know that every one of those challenges is overcomable, that there's incredible scripture that backs the encouragement of every one of them. We've seen stories of people that have overcome it. So we want to own those challenges and say, hey, the Lord has a plan to help you walk through these things.
Well, certainly the availability of folks to go each year to Louisville on that path and to be re-energized, if you will. I mean, I've heard Andy Stanley say vision leaks. And so the ability to come back and to get recharged in a vision, be challenged, and sometimes even God redirecting an initial path in a different direction within service. The pandemic has been so disruptive, and I know it has GMHC, Southeast Christian, your leadership team, very concerned. What's the impact been upon missions in terms of both short and long term that you've seen?
Yeah, so as we, again, we're not a sending agency and we're not boots on the ground, but we talk constantly with the organizations that are. And the numbers that we've heard from a few organizations as data has been coming in over the last 18 months is there's been twofold. One, a significant amount of attrition of people coming back from the field. Some organizations are saying that they've seen up to 20% of their healthcare workforce come back from the field during the season of COVID. And just a lot of exhaustion and burnout. And then on the other side of it, we've seen organizations and their applications go down significantly. Some organizations have said that they've seen 50% of application rate from what they've seen kind of in pre-COVID and, you know, before 2019. So this whole thing, you really have to think of it like an ecosystem. It's not just some one thing in existence. And, you know, the GMHC sits on the side of trying to inspire vision and mobilization. But there's tons of organizations that are out there as mission hospitals, as mobilizers, as senders, as equippers, and so on. And if you start to think that, you know, as, how are these things tied together? So, you know, you look at the fact that we couldn't have sent short-term trips really over the last 12, however many, 18 months. Well, short-term trips have a unique place. And this come back to said a second ago, medical missions, healthcare missions is a different animal than other kinds of missions. And I believe and I have a bias, but I believe that the way that short-term trips and teams and even individuals that spend short-term blocks of time are able to go and work with and serve healthcare facilities, clinics, and hospitals around the world has a more significant, I'm careful to use the word value here, but there's a more significant ability that they have to pour in and assist and help than other models that I've seen. Again, I have a bias, but I really do believe that when you have people that in healthcare that are working diligently, we spend plenty of time just to sit and talk for a second about the challenges of healthcare missions. And then you've got teams that can go in and support them and give them relief and break, whether or not they stayed there and work with them, or if they take a bit of furlough or whatever the break might be. But those short-term teams have in many ways been a lifeblood for long-term teams and long-term missionaries. We haven't seen that. So in many ways, we're looking at things right now, and we believe as a GMHC that we have a whole list of things that we call tensions, that we always are managing the tension of long-term and short-term missions, and the tension of domestic and international, and these things should be held in balance. No one of them is not greater than the other. But we're in a season right now where we feel such a deficit and a hurt to what's happening on long-term that we're trying to step in with other you all and other organizations to really advocate for short-term to be able to stand those up. It's kind of a shot in the arm to help the long-term work that's happening. And I think that we really can look at COVID as throwing a wrench in things that's kind of a delicate ecosystem that's really hurt and damaged a lot of things. So I hope that made sense and things, but that's kind of how we're hearing and we're seeing things right now. And really believing that short-term has a really special and unique place and a way to step up to support what's happening right now.
Well, as both as individuals and as organizations, are there ways that we can help people who are feeling called into missions overcome barriers to getting there?
Definitely there are. And, you know, the first one right now is on everybody's mind is the barrier of COVID. That's a unique one. And Lord willing, let's hope that has a chapter end sometime soon, you know, but there's a side to, you know, we have to navigate people's concerns and fears with the reality of a COVID world. In addition to that, I think the faster we can get to the concerns that people have and to help them navigate how to walk around those concerns, the better. To me, it's better to acknowledge the challenges and the concerns that are there rather than stick our head in the sand and pretend they don't exist. And I think most people, as we've worked with people, they're not fearful of the challenge. They're fearful of not knowing how to navigate it. And as we, as individuals and organizations, I think there is maybe even a greater need today of calling people to action. And it feels like we're moving from a season where it's like, man, healthcare missions, this would be an awesome thing that you could do with your life, to now it's like, we need you. Like, we're desperate. There are so many things that are desperate. That like if you are a Christian healthcare professional, in my belief, you should be engaged. Like it's not an option. I think this is the way that you should be living your life.
Building on that, Will, can you talk about non-traditional ways that people who are later in their career can and or should be getting involved with healthcare missions, particularly in light of these shortages that we're currently experiencing?
I think there's a number of ways, you know, and different organizations have different opportunities to engage. If I broke things down and I said, if you look at students to early career, to mid career, to late career, to retired, every one of those different age groups has a different way that they can engage and a special thing about where you are. And if you talk about mid to late to post career, the first thing I want to say is if that's you, the world of healthcare missions desperately needs you right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Doug, you and I were talking earlier today, even about, yeah. You know, there's scripture that speaks to gray hair. And I think that we've lost that value in the United States, you know, it's like, but in other countries, you're absolutely right. Like that gray hair means something that shows value, that shows wisdom. You know, I think maybe I kind of paint a picture like this, the value of going into healthcare, short-term healthcare mission work, but going multiple times in a row when someone can visit, kind of get their a lay of the land on that first trip and then go back again and again and again. They get to build relational equity as they go. You can build on the skills that you're transferring as you go. The trust of the partner that you're working with, the long-term team, increases as you go, you know, further and further. And I think that the benefit, one of the key benefits that mid to later career, you're probably in a greater stage of life financially to make it happen, greater stage of life where your kids are older and you're not needing to be home to take care of them all the time, probably greater flexibility in your job schedule and time that you have. So there really is a special spot for you. But I love the fact that at every stage, there is a spot for you to engage in healthcare missions.
Well, we've been talking to Will Rogers, who for over 17 years has been involved on a personal level and on a ministry and business level. I think your company is called X362. And the first time I saw the name of that, it was very clear what that means, which is we're involved in the other 362 days of the year, not including the 3 days of the conference, to make sure people are plugged in, have resources and connectivity to medical missions. So I think that's a great name for what's behind medicalmissions.com. The dates of the conference this year, November 11th through 13th. I think you're going to have some level of virtual ability for people to attend, Will?
We will. You know, obviously our encouragement is, hey, come in person. And I know things continue to shut down right and left right now, but we are charging forward to have a live event because we believe that this isn't a conference. We believe that it's a mobilization and a connection, a critical connection point. And that said, we still will be streaming a good number of things. All the plenary sessions will be streamed. About half of the breakout sessions will be streamed. All of it's going to be available after the fact on the platform. So yeah, there's ways that if you can't make it in person, you can still gain access to things.
Can you tell us about one or two of the plenary speakers that you're excited about?
Yeah, you know, this year we're going to be doing a few things with some panels and some different approaches to trying to give some greater exposure to things like. A little while ago, we were talking about the Pathways Project. So we're going to actually have some sessions this year that start to dive into that. So many people know Dr. Rick Donlin. He's going to be leading that, guiding that plenary session. And all of them look great. So excited about our content team has been working hard to pull together our plenary sessions. So excited to see how those come together this year.
As I wrap this up, I do want to ask our listeners during those days, if you can't come or attend for whatever reason, clearly streaming or attending virtually is a piece of cake. How do folks sign up and register to attend virtually, Will?
Yeah, you can do that at medicalmissions.com. I think you can get there directly at medicalmissions.com/GMHC. And the site will walk you through. It's easy to see a big register button, and you can see that there's virtual pricing and in-person pricing.
I'm so grateful that you've followed God's call on your life to be the quintessential mobilizer, Will Rogers. Thank you for your service to the kingdom.
It's been a fun journey. It's been a joy, and I just have to give it to our team, and so thankful that Southeast stands behind this, and we love healthcare missions, and we want to see more and more impact, and love the fact that healthcare professionals have one of the greatest skills and offerings to people around the world. And I say this often, it's like if you go up and ask someone in other countries what their core need is, they're not going to start out and say they need Jesus. They're probably going to point to something that's healthcare related. And out of that, there is the opportunity to share Jesus. So we need you.
Well, I sure appreciated that challenge that Will gave us at the end of that conversation. And there's no question that the COVID-19 pandemic has impacted healthcare missions in a major way. Our CMDA Global Health Outreach Ministry actually has had to cancel the majority of our planned short-term mission trips in 2020 and through the first half of this year, 2021. But we're excited because we see doors opening again for our teams to return to sharing the love of Christ with those in need through GHO. In fact, GHO Director Dr. Trish Burgess just returned from the Middle East, where she was leading a team of healthcare professionals in reaching out to Syrian refugees with the compassion and love of Jesus Christ. So I've asked Trish today to share about her recent trip. Welcome to CMDA Matters, Dr. Burgess.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for letting me share about GHO and our missions. COVID has changed our world in a lot of ways we didn't even really realize or think about early on, but it's definitely changed our missions. For one thing, as we've worked through this and trying to get back out there, it's added a level of complexity to preparing our teams to go, to try and do our best to bring in a healthy team to protect our patients as well as keeping our team healthy. But we are now sending a limited number of teams. We've been doing that since May, and our COVID prevention plan is actually working very well. We recently sent two teams to the Middle East, and I was lucky enough and blessed to serve and lead on one of them. We had a ministry center where we did our clinic, but we also were able to send a small team of a couple of doctors and a nurse out into some of the smaller churches and see clinic patients there as well. So that was really a neat experience. Basically, we were going into these homes and they would invite their neighbors or friends and the church that was there to see us. And so I had a room full of probably about 15 women, and none of them left. They would just rotate around as it was their turn to get seen. And it was just such a sweet time of fellowship with them and just really loving on them. I was able to share the gospel two or three times, as well as just share some testimony about Jesus and what he asked us to do and to help and love on each other. So that was a blessing of that trip. And then at the ministry center, I had a mother come in and I saw her and her daughter and prayed for them, offered prescriptions for what I was able to help them with. And then she came back later that afternoon and brought her infant son with her. And she came over to me, put him in my arms basically, and asked me to pray for him as well. So even though she was Muslim and not a Christian, she could see the value of me praying for her son and just was intent and purposeful in bringing him back to clinic so that I would do that for her. And it was just such a sweet, special time of showing the love of Christ and that he cares enough about us that he even just to pray for someone in his name is special to them. And then at the end of the clinic week, we were able to watch baptisms of some of the church members. And we saw this elderly woman in her black burqa and hijab actually get baptized. I don't know if I'll ever be blessed enough to see that again in my lifetime, but it was so special and just so striking and amazing to see her raising her arms, praising Jesus in that culture, that it just was such a blessing to our team to get to finish our clinic week watching several baptisms. So if you're interested at all in serving on short-term missions, I would love for you to take a look at cmda.org/gho. You'll be able to find our trip calendar on that. We have multiple teams going next year. Many are already posted on our trip calendar for earlier in the year. And I'd be happy to have you join us on mission.
Thank you, Trish. She and her GHO team have done an incredible job of coordinating with all sorts of extra protocols and procedures in light of the COVID-19 pandemic. In the midst of all the precautions we've had to take due to COVID-19 and the added logistics of keeping our teams and our national partners healthy, it's important to remember that the Great Commission has not and will not change. Matthew 28:19-20 is our Lord Jesus' very own challenge for us in 2021. As you CMDA members and friends fan out across the globe, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always, Jesus said, even during pandemics, to the end of the age. Well, if you have felt a nudge from the Lord or have been encouraged by a respected colleague or pastor or mentor to get involved in healthcare missions, I want to encourage you to check out the upcoming GMHC conference. And again, those dates are November 11th through the 13th, a Thursday evening through Saturday noon. You can learn more about missions opportunities that we offer through CMDA in one of our many exhibits there. And I would love to meet you personally and to hear what God has been doing in your life as a follower of Christ in healthcare. If you'd like to learn more about GMHC or to register, just click the link in our show notes today or visit medicalmissions.com. CMDA's final Emerging Leaders in Dentistry Regional Conference is coming up October 29th and 30th. In Augusta, Georgia. These Emerging Leaders conferences have been designed especially to empower Christian dental students across the country with education, encouragement, and equipping in order that they might glorify God in their upcoming dental careers. Just click our link in the show notes today to learn more, as well as to register, or go to our master webpage for all of our upcoming conferences. And that URL is cmda.org/events. I definitely want to invite you to come back next week, and you'll hear from CMDA's own Board of Trustees member and champion, Dr. Brick Lance, as well as our Director for Leadership and Church Relations, Reverend Burt Jones, on our new Bridging the Gap curriculum. Bridging the Gap was developed by over 40 CMDA bioethicists from across our country to help bridge the understanding and knowledge gap between ardent followers of Christ in the U.S. church today and a biblically based perspective on the most culturally relevant and yet controversial bioethical topics of our day. If you can't wait until next week, go ahead and check it out for yourself on cmda.org/bridgingthegap, one word, and there's a free download for anybody, member or not, of that curriculum. At CMDA, bringing Christian healthcare professionals together for the common goal of bringing hope and healing to all of the world is the heartbeat of CMDA. And we are most grateful to be able to partner with conferences just like GMHC to fulfill that calling. I know without a doubt that advancing healthcare missions matters to you, our members, and it matters so much to us here at CMDA, that we continue to develop and grow our CMDA Center for Advancing Healthcare Missions under the capable direction of Dr. Doug Lindberg. God helping us, answering the call to mobilize harvest workers will always matter to CMDA, and CMDA matters until the Lord Jesus, the Lord of the harvest, comes back to take us home. Thanks for listening today. If you like CMDA Matters, give us a 5-star rating and share us on your favorite social media platform. Feel free to suggest a healthcare-related topic or a special guest that Christians in healthcare just like you would be blessed to hear or challenged by. You can do that simply by emailing us at cmdamatters@cmda.org. We'll see you next week, God willing.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.